Welcome to the RodeoKids.com podcast, providing for the future of rodeo. I'm your host, Jared Orman. Welcome to another episode of the RodeoKids.com podcast, and on today's episode, we actually talk with Dally Orman, who is a junior rodeo contestant. She junior high rodeos, but one of the bigger things she's done in her life is she's actually been to the NFR and was trick riding in the opening ceremonies at the NFR, as well as some different rodeos. So we get into kind of that and how she does balance school and rodeo and trick riding, because she does do a lot of different things. She also lives on a farm, and they have quite a few cows. So we talk a little bit about how she balances all the farm work too, and just continues to keep her grades up. We also talk a little bit about horsemanship and mental preparation and how she developed herself. She didn't try and follow anyone else in the rodeo industry. She just kept to herself and kept her mindset going in her direction. So it's a really good conversation, and we got a lot of great information out of here. So without further ado, here's Dally Orman.
So here we are. We're here with Dally Orman. She is a trick rider and a junior high rodeo contestant. So first of all, Dally, let's just like talk a little bit about how you grew up, your parents, and just kind of all that, your kind of upbringing in the rodeo industry.
Okay, so my parents, they own a marketing company and they promote trucks. So we've always kind of been in the rodeo world, but I kind of had my find my own feet because my parents weren't competitors. So I kind of had to find my own way through rodeo's path.
So then you also, I know you've done some stuff when you were younger. Like I mentioned, you're a trick rider. Why don't you just talk a little bit about some of the stuff you did and traveled around doing when you were younger, trick riding?
So trick riding is gymnastics on horseback. So when I was younger, I've gone to the AQHA World Show and trick rode and carried the American flag there. When I was in 2013, I went to the NFR, and I got to trick ride before the opening. And then I do a bunch of local rodeos here in Iowa.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen you around, and just in case you guys didn't know, Dally is my cousin, so that's kind of how I know her. Our dads are brothers. So how is it like growing up in a rodeo family? Because, you know, maybe some people don't grow up in a rodeo family. So how's that kind of helped shape you into the person you are?
I think it helps a lot. It helps you because it's kind of weird sometimes when you're getting help from other people that you don't know as well. And I think that it helps with a rodeo family that they can help give you tips and you can understand it, but it's not always from your parents. Cause sometimes you just like, yeah, whatever from your parents, but like you can get more in depth with somebody that's, you're not hanging around with 24/7, but you also know them really well.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. I agree with you 110% on that. So what are the differences like when you prepare to go trick ride somewhere or you prepare to go rodeo somewhere? What's the differences between preparing for both of those events?
Well, trick riding, I'm not competing, so the pressure's not as high. So I always like to say a prayer before I go into when I'm competing and when I go trick ride. It's just a daily routine that I do. But I also like to make sure all my equipment is up to in condition and it is ready for me to go do whatever I'm about to do on it.
Definitely. So what's the preparation at home look like for both of your different event type deals?
I like to make sure my horses are always in condition and healthy, and give them supplements. Like I give them a joint supplement and I give them healthy coat just to make sure they are looking nice, but also feeling great too.
Definitely. So how many times do you ride a week then to make sure that they stay in condition? What's your program look like?
I try to ride every night. Sometimes they're busier than others, and I'm just not able to get out there. But which is kind of hard for me, especially because I don't have lights and I don't have a covered arena. So, like, winters, I'm long turning up and down the road when it's safe for me to do it. So I'm not on my horse 24/7 in the winter. But in the summer, I'm trying to ride every single night, at least when I can.
Yeah. So then, again, you are a junior high rodeo contestant. I know there's some people that are homeschooled, but you actually go to public school. So how do you balance those school and rodeo and everything in between?
Well, I definitely choose for school, but school needs to be my number one so that I can go rodeo and I can go make a business when I'm older and I can't rodeo anymore. So school is definitely my number one, and I'm just trying to make sure my grades are as high as they can be, and just making sure that school is my number one until I can be on the road full time.
Yeah, so then what advice would you give to kids who are wanting to do high school rodeo or junior high rodeo, and then they're in school? What advice would you give them to make sure they can keep their grades up and balance them both in a healthy way?
I'd say, I tell them study as much as you can. Be in school as much as you can. Try to miss as little of school as you can. If you're in public school, I know that if you're homeschooled, that you can be rodeoing all the time and still be able to get your homework and stuff done because you really don't have any. But public school, you got to be. My school, it's kind of hard for me because my school they don't think rodeo is a sport. So I am counted absent. Like, if I'm gone to a rodeo for half a day, I'm not excused. And so it's hard for me with a limited amount of days to go to. So I say take as little time off, but make sure your horses are in condition and you're not getting to a rodeo at 12 in the morning.
Yeah, I get there at like 12 in the mornings most of the time, but it's fine. It's fine. We don't need sleep. It's all right. It's all dandy. I agree with you. I'm gone a lot. Like, I'm getting ready to leave to go to Texas here in like 3 days, and I went to Oklahoma for like a week, and I have like 49 absences. Don't do that, kids. Be better than me. Learn from my mistakes. Definitely. So then, do you have any, like, what do you do to get mentally correct before you go in the arena? Do you just, like, have a thought process, you know? Is there a certain thing that you do to make sure that you're mentally fit?
Well, like I said earlier, I always say a prayer, and I always try and stay away from other people, and I just block everything out, and that's my time to get set. That's time to make sure my horse is completely ready, my horse is stretched, been rode for 15 minutes at least before I go make a run or go in the arena. It's normally way more than 15 minutes, but I just try and make sure I am completely ready to the best ability I can be.
Yeah, definitely. So, as another rodeo competitor, you know, how do you handle the pressure situations? You know, do you just kind of block those things out, or do you feed off the pressure?
Like I said earlier, I just like to block things out. If somebody makes a bad run before me, that's not my run. I'm going to go do the best that I can, and I'm not going to go take, if I have a bad run, I'm not going to go take that out on my horse. I'm just going to take it for what I did, and that's the best I could do at that time.
Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest piece of advice that you've gotten as a kid that's, like, helped you and affected you the most inside and outside the arena?
I'd say that the best advice that I would have gotten would be to go do my thing. It's go do what you need to go do. Go take your time, but be smooth and just be consistent with what your runs.
Mm-hmm. What is the hardest thing you've faced in the rodeo arena and, like, different aspects of rodeo?
My horse, he's a pony, of course, but he's got a mind of his own sometimes, and so sometimes it's kind of hard for me to go to rodeos, especially this my first couple of years of junior high rodeo. My horse would pin me up against a fence, and there was no way of getting out of that. I've had people push my horse off the fence to get him away from the fence, and it always happened on the right barrel. And I've learned from that he was just so stressed with four events that he just needed, and he wasn't totally prepared for that, and that he needed his time. He needed a rest from it. We eventually ended up getting him barrel horse so that he's only on three events, and hope to soon bring my barrel horse into poles a little bit. But yeah,
definitely. So, you know, we kind of talked about how you went to the NFR and did some trick running at the NFR. Explain to us, like, how you got there, like, who selected you to go there, and just take us through the whole entire time you're out in Vegas trick riding, because that's a pretty cool experience.
So, my parents got the call in October of 2013, and the year before, I'd been to the AQHA World Show. I'd been doing a bunch of local rodeos, but the hard part about going to Vegas is I was on a 28-year-old horse who, in the pasture, he's weak. But the funny thing is the moment we stepped on in the arena before, like, when we were practicing, even the night of, his muscles would grow, and, like, he would become, like, a six-year-old again, and I hadn't seen that side of him before. But a man named Sean Davis called my parents and asked if I would like to go, and they had kind of been praying about it and kept it from me for a little bit, and they're like, "Dally, you got the call to go to Vegas." My heart dropped. It was, and I started bawling. I still get chill bumps thinking about this whole story. It's been a couple years, it's been 5 years since, but I don't remember the whole thing, but I just remember that the night of, I couldn't help but take it all in, and it was amazing, and I would do it 100,000 more times. I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, how do you feel, like, how'd you feel when you were walking down the alleyway into the Thomas and Mack, and, you know, what time did you, in, like, the afternoon, did you start preparing to go inside the Thomas and Mack, and just take us through, like, the night of the performance?
I think it was about 3 p.m. that we started so the horses are on, like, a different area than where I was staying. I was staying downtown, and it was about 25-ish minutes drive down to the Thomas and Mack. So we had to get ready at 3, but makeup took, I'll say, at least 30 minutes to an hour. Then, at 4-ish, we'd head down to the Thomas and Mack, and then we'd saddle and start riding, and then soon, it didn't take us very long until the rodeo was getting close to start. And the cool thing is at the Thomas and Mack, your warm-up pin is a tent, so we're around here with a bunch of cowboys, world champions, just riding your horse, your 28-year-old horse, which is super cool. And then one of the girls I got to trick ride with was Madison McDonald, who is a champion trick rider, and she's just out there, and you're like, I'm an 8-year-old trick riding at the NFR with world champion calf ropers, steer dog, yeah, bulldoggers, team ropers, and you're with Madison McDonald, and you're just taking this all in and loving every part of it. And right before we went in the arena, you're in an alleyway, and it's pitch black. You cannot see a thing. And one of the girls, she didn't have a whole lot of clothes on. So a couple of us had to give her a couple of coats to put on so that she would stay warm and would be able to perform. And I was the last trick rider out. So we had Melissa Navarre, Madison McDonald trick riding. They did their couple of laps. And then we had Shyla Navarre and Cora Croteau go in, and they did their laps. And then I was the introduction to the American flag in the national anthem. And when I went in, everything was dark, and it was spotlights on me, and it was amazing, because you tried to find people and look them in the eye and make eye contact, but you couldn't totally do it, so you had to just, like, find an area and look right at it, and it was amazing.
That's super, super cool. So did you do anything special with your horse? You know, you said he's a little bit older. Did you have him on any different supplements out there? You know, did you wrap his legs or anything like that just to prepare him, since it's such a long haul from Iowa down to Nevada?
Yeah, it's 1,700 miles. So, but they all, I didn't take my horse out. Actually, a family that goes to church with me, they took my horse out, but they met up with Melissa Navarre and Shyla Navarre, and they traveled together down from Texas to Nevada. So the hardest part was to make sure my horse drank, because he doesn't always like to drink when he's traveling, and that's such a long trip for them not to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, it's stressful. But we really, at that time, we didn't have a whole lot of supplements, or we didn't really wrap their legs or anything like that. So, I mean, that if I were to do it over again, I would totally put back on tracks or something like that on, and put him on a joint supplement and just make sure that he's drinking and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, looking back on that experience, you know, what is the number one thing that you are just so thankful for from the whole entire experience of going to the NFR?
Just being in that arena, it looks big from above and stuff, but it's really not. But being in that arena, and it's your own time to be in that arena in the spotlights, and you have all the attention, and you're just glowing because you're at the NFR trick riding. I'd have to say that's my absolute favorite part.
Definitely, definitely. So then again, you went to the AQHA World Show, and you did the opening ceremonies there with the American flag. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into that, too, and just kind of the whole experience of that as well, because that's a pretty big deal as well.
Mm-hmm. We went down with another lady from our church who was actually singing down there. She sang the national anthem, and like I said, it's been so long that I don't remember the whole part, but I remember that where I was supposed to change was in a stall. And then we painted his hooves black, because he's a black horse, and it just, like, made him look a little bit better. And there was pyro on one end of the arena, and I had to go around the pyro, and then I had to cut the arena off right before the pyro, which was not something, being a trick rider, you take up your entire arena, you don't cut it off. To be honest, that's one of my pet peeves, is seeing somebody cut off the arena. But so that was kind of hard. I had to work with my horse and show him that we kind of cut it off a little bit. I had a little mishap in the arena. My flagpole, the bottom of my flagpole fell off. And being a 7-year-old, you don't really know what to do. And you're not. I hadn't gone to a whole lot of rodeo trick riding yet. And so you're just like, what do I do? So that was like a hard part for about that. But I really did enjoy that one. There was a couple people from Iowa down there at that rodeo. So it was cool to see, looking in the crowd. And I wasn't spotlighted at that one. And I could see the crowd in the crowd, the people I knew, which made it a whole lot easier being a 7-year-old.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, you know, you junior high rodeoed and stuff. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your highs and lows in that and how you kind of deal with it and what it's like going to junior high rodeos, you know, because some kids probably don't get to experience that. So why don't you just kind of give us a little bit of a rundown about that?
Well, junior high rodeo, it provides you with a whole new prospect of rodeo because you get to start making relationships at a young age and you get to start building on those relationships. And then at one point, you can start going to rodeos and traveling across the country with these kids, and which is really amazing. A lot of people do. It's a lot like school. Like a bigger public school. Some kids do group up, but you're always going to have those kids that are always going to be there. They're the kind that. It's going to support you if you're having your hardest time, like I was. I had several kids that, like, keep trying, you got this, keep riding them past it, you got this. And then there's going to be those other kids that they're winning it, and they really don't care if you're losing. So that's kind of the hardest and the best part about junior high rodeo. But it's a great opportunity to meet up with people and start relationships.
Yeah, I would agree. I junior high rodeoed, and I thought that was really cool. I remember my first junior high rodeo, I'm like, wow, I'm in the big leagues now. Better watch out. Here I am. And then, you know, you just realize how we're all in this together, and, you know, it's all a learning curve, you know. Just
yeah, you're all rodeos. Family out there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I agree with that. So, what do you think the biggest fundamental of rodeoing is? Do you think it's horsemanship, or do you think it's kind of your mental game?
I'd say it's mental game because when I first started rodeoing and junior high rodeoing, I had only gone to small family rodeos. I hadn't been out and, like, really, really competed. So that was a whole lot of mental game. And I had my horse. At that time, I'll admit it, my horse wasn't mentally ready. I wasn't mentally ready. So it was really hard for us to start up. And I said, my third year in junior high rodeo, we're like really clicking and we're starting to be up there. And we're starting to place really high.
Mm-hmm. I remember it would have been my 8th grade year and it was your 6th grade year. And you were doing poles, and it was like the last event of the day, and I came down to watch you, and you smoked a run, and my dad looked at your dad, and they were like, finally, it's going to click, it's going to come, and I think that's really cool. It's really cool to see people mold, you know, over the year and just over the 3 years of junior high or 4 years of high school. I think that's kind of the coolest thing about going to those events.
Yeah, I'd agree, because you're all family, and you all are watching each other, not only watching how they do on the ground, but watching how they grow with their horse and they grow and become better at what they do.
Yeah, so, you know, you've been talking about your horses quite a bit. Let's talk about your 2 main horses that you ride. Just tell them a little bit what's their name, you know, and their personalities and what you do on them.
Well, my pole horse. He's my pole horse, my goat horse, my trick riding horse. He's my everything. But he's one of them horses that he's not going to show you that he likes you. He's going to, he'll mess around with you a little bit, and he'll he's funny because he's a pony, so he, like, there's a, you have to find the spots on him to let him show you that he likes it. So there's a spot right underneath his neck and right before his chest that if you rub, he'll start pointing his lip, and it's funny to watch him come out of his shell. And then my barrel horse, I've had her for almost a year now, and we're starting to get to where we're clicking. She's a 15-2 hand horse, so it's a lot coming from a 13-2 hand horse to a 15-2. So you're at the barrel quicker. You gotta change the way you ride just a little bit to adjust to that bigger horse. She's interesting. Her personality's kind of funny because she's not afraid to show you that she likes something. We were at a barrel racing clinic, and there was a Great Dane there, and she was kind of looking at it funny, and she was, like, looking at it, and it was kind of looking at her. And my mom goes, "Jackie, do you want to meet the dog?" And she just snorts really big and backs up, and it was kind of funny to watch her do that. So she's not afraid to give you a response to something.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about this summer at Adel. I know you won the pole bending there at the youth rodeo, which is a pretty cool youth rodeo. If you don't know what the Adel Iowa Youth Rodeo is, it's actually during their county fair. And it's not like your normal youth rodeo where it's kind of low, minimal people there. I mean, it's a grandstand event. The stands are packed. It's loud. It's crazy. It's a huge arena. So let's just talk to everyone a little bit about this year and your success there this year in the polls.
Yeah, so I had never been to that rodeo. It was totally new for me. So I got to scope out everything. But I know that you show there and you were like, it's great ground. It's a little bit different because polls aren't centered with the gate. So you have to move over.
Yep.
Which was a struggle for me. But, and then they have a they have their main round, and then they have their short round right after. So it was kind of a longer rodeo. And me, I entered in barrels and pole bending. And that was kind of just my place to go figure out some things and mess around with my horse. And I wasn't there. Of course, I wanted to win it, but I wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to go win it. I'm going to put everything in. I wanted to go mess around with my horse just to take him to another rodeo, get him exposed to more rodeos, that kind of thing. So it was totally different for us, and we loved it. We loved the ground down there. Actually, it was super fun because my pole horse, being my goat horse and my trick riding horse, I can do a lot with him. So they had a like a intermission kind of thing where you it was musical chairs, so you had to get on, you had to be sitting, and when the music played, you had to get on your horse and run to the other end and get in the chair. So I got to be able to use my trick riding skills, my goat tying skills, and my running skills to go jump on my horse and then get off my horse and sit in the chair. And I ended up winning that one to a really good goat tire who I thought would be winning this thing. Would have won it, but it was really cool. It was a great experience.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that was a really big win. And then the church that you go to has a saddle club horse show there, and I know someone rode your horse there and did really well on Aguila, your pole horse. So why don't you talk a little bit about Kendall and her success on Aguila too, because I think that speaks volumes of that horse.
Yeah, so Kendall, she's a 6-foot girl, so she, being on a 13-2 hand horse, made my horse look way short, and it was kind of funny because he, every once in a while, if he doesn't know who's in charge, he will take you to the fence, but you gotta just pull him off, and you gotta just let him breathe for a minute and take the pressure off of him. So, like, the first time she got on him, he did that, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't realize such a small thing could have such a great impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had like 5 rodeos, fun shows throughout the year, and she ended up winning on him. I ended up winning on him. And it's kind of a fun thing. So there's like pleasure classes, there's there's speed classes, there's a mystery class. There isn't any roping events, which we have a roping box and we have ropings there too. But the reason why she needed her horse was, or needed a horse, was because she had just sold her good horse, and because he was lame and she couldn't ride him and compete on him without him being lame and acting really bad, so she couldn't keep him in shape and stuff. So she ended up selling him, and in I think it was October, she ended up buying a new horse. So I can't wait for her to go win classes on that horse too this year and those events.
Yeah, that's super, super cool. And so then also talk to us a little bit about going out to Cheyenne this year. You took your barrel horse out there, and talk to us a little bit about what your barrel horse did out there, because that's another cool experience and a lot of experiences that kids probably wouldn't be able to have at your age. That's pretty cool. So let's talk to them about that.
So my parents go out to Cheyenne for their business, but Cheyenne's a 12-hour day standing on concrete talking to people all day. And I'm out there talking to people too. So, but we know my parents have been going to the rodeo so much, or so for so long, that my parents know people out there, and I've grown up with these people. And so one of my really cool friends, she's in the Air Force, and so she'll drive those planes that you drive a bus into, and she'll fly those around the world. And but she's also on the horse committee, so she'll go in the horse barns, and we'll be in there at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever needs done, depending on what needs done, I should say. And we'll be saddling horses for parade horses for the parade that starts at 9 downtown. And then we'll come back around 11. We'll have about an hour off, and we'll eat there, and we'll just relax, and then we'll saddle some of our horses. And we'll head to the track, which is where the committee people go right before the rodeo, and the announcer announce every single one and what they do with the rodeo. And then, like, right after bareback, I think they do rodeo queen flybys. So my horse, my barrel horse, she got to be a flyby horse, which was something new for her, and it was something fun for her. And it was also another way of me taking my horses out there, was another way of me keeping my horses in shape. So, so Miss Rodeo Iowa and Miss Rodeo North Dakota got to ride her on her flybys. Something fun about that trip that we got to show her was she hadn't seen wagons, horse pulled wagons and things before. So that was something way new, and some of them are big and some of them are small, and it was funny just to watch her look at them, and she didn't like them. She never ended up liking them.
Yeah, I can speak from personal experience. She is not a fan of wagons, so let's just say that.
Yeah. And
the weather at Cheyenne this year was not great either. If you didn't see that, it was all over Facebook and different things like that. Hailing, there was a tornado. They had to stop the rodeo for the short go. It was great. It was amazing. It was like the real life Wizard of Oz happening in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was great.
Yeah, you had to pick your jeans up past your knees to go walk, get the horse running.
Yeah, and it was like 40 degrees the whole time. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely. So then what advice would you give to a kid who's maybe wanting to aspire to be in rodeo or wanting to perform at a high level in the rodeo business and industry?
Well, I'd say seek some help from somebody who's been out there for a year or two, and they kind of have an idea. so that they can help you get your horse and you mentally ready. And then I'd start going to rodeos, just seeking out what you can find out there. And I'd start with smaller rodeos before you got super competitive at those big rodeos, and just go have fun. I mean, you don't, of course, rodeo is a competition and you would like to win, but it's also about finding those relationships and those long-lasting relationships that you're going to be with forever.
That's really good advice. Do you have any favorite quotes or anything like that that you really try and live by?
No. I just like to seek my faith out and follow God as much as I can and show my faith in God as much as I can at rodeos.
Do you have any favorite books that are kind of motivational books or movies or anything like that that's kind of like changed your outlook on life?
One of my favorite books was The Little Train That Could, and it's about a train that wasn't the biggest train out there, and it was trying to go up these hills and pull these big loads, and it was just really hard, and everything that she kept doing was just thinking that she could, and she could, and that she knew she could, and that she could keep going, and she could make it, and she ended up being this really great train that could do what no other train could do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that book personally. I think it's pretty good. Motivational book. So what are the plans for the rest of this year? What are your kind of your goals that you have your sights set on, and how are you going to help achieve those goals?
Well, one of my first ones is I want to go to the junior high national finals this year and here on South Dakota. And I just, one of the ways I'm going to work on that is just making sure my horse is in shape, making sure I'm in shape, making sure I'm mentally ready, making sure my horse is mentally ready. And we're going to go try our hardest at everything we can do. We're going to go push through. And then another thing I would love to do is I'd like to start to ride at more rodeos now that I do have my horse, my full horse now, that is also my trick riding horse, and I can go to more rodeos now, because right after the NFR in 2013, we had to start shutting people down because I didn't have a horse, because I had a 29-year-old horse that I couldn't go trick ride on anymore because he was so old. We still have him. He's 35 now. But I'd like to just start getting my name back out there and trick riding again.
And may I say that 35-year-old horse looks as good as ever. So, I mean, it's not like he's old like some horse. I mean, he looks pretty good for 35. Holy cow.
Yes, sir.
If there's anything that's an inspiration, it's that horse. Holy cow. I couldn't be kicking as good as he is at 35. When I turn 35, I'm going to be, like, not able to move as good as he can. Holy cow.
Definitely. Yeah. My mom, I think it was 2001-ish. She actually can go. So he knew exactly what he was doing.
We lost you there. What'd you say on that?
I think it was 2001. She took Junior, the 35-year-old horse, and she got to trick ride on him there at the NFR. And it was kind of cool that he knew exactly what he was doing the minute he walked on that ground.
Yeah, that's super cool. So your mom was also a trick rider too. She was a pretty big deal. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her history in the trick riding industry and the rodeo industry?
So my mom, she didn't have a whole lot of horse background until college-ish. And my grandmother is really the one who got my mom into trick riding, even though she didn't trick ride. My grandma was aging out of being able to trick ride, so she told my mom to go figure it out. So she ended up buying my mom a saddle, and she got her a horse, and my mom didn't have an arena. And the thing that I would not recommend doing at all, don't you dare do this, is she would go to rodeos, she would see how they would do it, she might be able to ask the trick rider what the strap was for or something, and then mom would go home and she'd trick ride up and down the gravel roads. and that was her way of trying to figure out a trick ride. And she also had a book. I honestly don't know what it's called, but it tries to show you how to do a trick. But really and truly, the only way to learn and the best way to learn is from somebody who knows what they're doing. And to have the proper equipment that they need. So my mom, she ended up getting with a group of girls who, one was from Texas and one was from Colorado, and they'd go on the road, and their name was the All-American Trick Riders. And so they'd go from rodeo to rodeo trick riding, and one of their specialties was they had a gigantic flag that the tallest one would be in the front carrying the top of it, then the middle-sized one would be in the middle carrying the middle of it and keeping it up, and then my mom, who was the shortest, kept the tail end up, and they would just carry it around, make a hot lap, or maybe even carry it around the whole entire national anthem, which was really cool. And then my mom met my dad in college, so they kind of met that way, and my dad was a FFA teacher, and my dad was at National FFA Convention, I believe it was, and man walked up to him, and he was like, "You know a lot about trucks. What do you think about coming and maybe taking an interview for this company, which now my parents own?" And so it was kind of, they kind of got into rodeo more and more that way. And now they're promoting trucks for Chrysler now, and they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And then you guys run some cows, too. How many head of cows do you have, and what kind of cows are they? Are they pairs or fat cattle?
So we have black Angus cattle, and we have a little bit of Corian cattle. Roping steers that my dad ropes off of, and the Corianese will rope on them for a couple years, and then we'll go take them to the meat walker and we'll go eat them. Actually, we aren't having too much luck with those this year. We've started calving really early this year, and only three of them are living out of, like, the six we've had of them. So we're kind of having some hard luck with that this year. But we're trying to we've only had them for a couple years. And so we're still learning and figuring out how to better take care of the stock and stuff.
Yeah, and you do use some Ormond Hereford bulls on your black cattle, don't you?
Yes, we do.
You do. They do. There's a little spawns in there for you. We raise Hereford cattle here, and they've used some of our Hereford bulls. And funny story, actually, Dally's dad, Mike, my uncle, sent some of his heifers up here to be bred by our Coriani bull, and there was a calf on them. And his cow was, I don't know. Anyway, this heifer is already pregnant, and the calf came up here with it, and the calf's name is Ferdinand, and he's now a yard ornament at our house. We still have to take him back to Dally's, but he, like, runs around our yard all the time. People think we have a calf out, but it's actually just Ferdinand. It's fine. He's like a dog.
Yeah.
So how does, you know, the cattle industry affect you, too? You know, you got to take care of your cattle, and I know you help your dad with that a bunch. How do you kind of balance that, too?
I love to be on a farm, and I love taking care of the cattle, but rodeo is my main love. So, and I don't rope, so I'm not roping. And so it's kind of just my dad and neighbors who want to come over and rope. So, my pole horse used to be a healing horse. So, and he had he had had some mounted shooting on him, and and he's really cowy. If I had worked with him, I could probably start cutting on him, but probably not, because that'd be a lot of projects on him. But he's so cowy. It's so fun just to sit there. And he was supposed to be cutting bread, and then he ended up going through a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I can speak from personal experience. I had a rope horse. We were at a high school rodeo, and my actual cutting horse wasn't doing too hot, so I got on my rope horse, who's very hot-minded and wants to go, go, go all the time. But she's cutting bread, you know, so she should be a cutting horse, and I went in there and cut on her. It wasn't the prettiest, but we got the job done, so it can be done. So those people out there, it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not the prettiest, but it definitely worked. It definitely worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Talked about your future plans for trick riding. You know, you said you wanted to trick ride a little bit more too, coming up, you know, trying to get your name back out there. What are your goals basically for trick riding? You know, where do you see yourself in the next 10, 15 years when it comes to trick riding? Because I know that's a big part of your life.
No, my goal is to kind of become the next Madison McDonald and become the next big trick rider out there that everybody wants to go hang out with. But I also want to, one of my dreams that I have is I want to go to rodeos and I want to have my own church services at the rodeo, kind of be like that missionary, like a missionary, rodeo missionary, because my mom, one of the chick riders she chick rode with, her husband and her were missionaries, and they would go to rodeos telling everybody about Christ, which was so cool. And she's an amazing woman, and I still know her really well. We're like family, but that's kind of where I want to go with my life.
Do you see yourself back at the NFR in the next couple of years chick riding?
I would love to be there. Yes, I do.
I know. Yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Well, any last statements, you know, any more advice for those kids, you know, that are really trying to get into the rodeo industry, and any lasting thoughts and advice?
Like I said earlier, just go be you, go do your thing, go take your time and train and work on something. Go seek advice if you need help. Just go be friendly. If you're winning something, don't be that snot that nobody wants to be around because you're winning it and you don't think you're good enough to be with those kids. Go help them if they're struggling. I mean, I was there and I had so many people come up to me and tell me that I was going to get through it. And like you came up to me and you worked with me a little bit. And I had so many other people, my neighbors, they would come help me. It was, I mean, you're all family because of the sport you're in. So why not take advantage of it? Why not go?
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, it doesn't matter if you're first or last, there's always room to improve. And there's always, we're all humans, you know, we're not better than anyone else. We all can make mistakes. I definitely agree with you on that. Well, thank you for sitting down with us, Dally. I guess it was a really good conversation, and we thank you for being on here.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dally Orman, for sitting down with us. We had a great conversation. We're so thankful to have her on the podcast. It was awesome. Make sure to check out RodeoKids.com. They got some great stuff going on there, from training videos and drills. They have amazing stuff. Rodeo apparel, I mean, whatever you need, RodeoKids.com has it. The podcast will also be on there, so make sure you check those out. And stay tuned for the next episode out of the RodeoKids.com podcast.